Morning, friends. We are going to make a start. All you need for this morning is this handout here. Let me explain what we're going to do, which is a slight change of plan. Do you remember in our current Sunday school series entitled Caring for One Another, we've thought respectively about the humility we need to care for one another, the God-given desire to move towards one another and not away from one another. Ironic statement. We need, as we do that, we need both to listen out for and share matters of the heart, because we are heart-driven creatures, but also a growing understanding of the circumstances and the events around us which shape us so much. Will last week helped us think about some of the method by which we do that. Some of it was practical stuff and some of it was spiritual stuff. You know, other person-centeredness, looking to sort of love and do good to another. We are due today to think about suffering. So lots of the things that we find ourselves talking about when we're trying to encourage each other, lots of the things that we hear when we're in Christian conversation with one another, are under that heading of suffering. And we sort of set aside this week to think about, well, how do you think and speak and listen and then pray about issues to do with suffering? And we're going to think then about sin next week. So what I thought we would do is slightly mess up the program, as it were, but only slightly. And what you've got here is a series of scriptural truths and Bible verses to, as the heading says, to help each other suffer Christianly amid the current crisis. So what we've got here is some truth from God's word to believe, to share, and to pray. And what we're going to do with our time this morning is simply work through this. We'll go through a few headings at a time. We'll read some scripture verses, and then we will pause, and in the light of that, we will pray. So that's the plan for this morning. Okay, so let me lead us in prayer as we gather together. God, our Father, this is the day that you have made, and we want to rejoice and be glad in it. Chiefly, we are glad in you as our Creator and Redeemer, our Sovereign Lord and our loving Heavenly Father. Would you do good to your church this morning and her members? For us here, do us good, strengthen us, that we might in turn strengthen and do good to others. Care for our children and young people meeting elsewhere. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's look through those first four headings. By the way, what I'm giving us this morning is almost entirely taken from some stuff put together by Andy Mason and Mike Reith. Andy Mason is a commission pastor down in, I think he's in South London. We know Mike Reith, dear friend, recently retired. So, foundational truth number one. We still have God as our Father and live under his daily care, provision, and protection. So listen to these scriptures. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Luke 12, verse 7. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. Psalm 34, verses 4 to 6. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Foundational truth number two, our Father is still in control of his world and of every single thing in our lives. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Psalm 115, our God is in the heavens, he does all that he pleases. Number three, an observation. Our infection depends not on statistics or risk factors or age, but on the Lord's explicit decision and permission to allow it. Isaiah 45, verse 7, I form light and I create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. And so we are encouraged, number four, to fear the Lord more than earthly fears, to love the Lord more than health. So Luke 12. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Mark 8. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So let's pause there with those scriptures in mind. For this bit, we'll say as one big group, but let's turn and pray. There's much to give thanks for and to rejoice and things to be praying for ourselves and for our whole church family. So pipe up. Don't be afraid to pray out loud, but do so loudly, please. Go for it. Mark Smithers is going to lead us off.
Father God, we thank you, first of all, this morning, that you are our sovereign Heavenly Father, and that nothing happens, Father God, outside of your control. You sustain, you uphold, you will all things to happen. Lord, we don't always know why, but we know that this is true. Help each of us, Lord, to trust you today, to believe your promises. And Lord, I pray that each of us would be a calming influence on the people you put around us, whether that's at work, at school, at home, in families. Lord, help us to share that trust that we have in the Lord Jesus. And we pray boldly for gospel opportunities that you give each of us that will arise out of the sort of fear and commotion in the world, but for the Christian, a steadfast hope in things that do not change. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you for the assurance that you give us that our lives are in your hands. Things do not happen to us by accident or by chance, but you know all these things, and you care for us. Even for the sparrows you care, how much more for us, your children, that you created and that you love. And so we pray that you will give us assurance, day by day, to know that everything is in your hands, and we are in your hands, and you will make good to come out of even apparent evil and harm. So we thank you for this assurance in our lives. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, help us to take great comfort amidst all this suffering and confusion, that you are completely in control of it, that it's you that is sovereign over it. It's not something that's happening in a random or a haphazard way, but Lord, it's under your will. And Lord, we praise you so much that we know that you are good, that you are loving, and that in all things, Lord, as much as it's hard for us to understand, you do purpose it for good. So please help us to trust you and love you even more deeply in this time of fear, anxiety, and confusion. For your glory. Amen.
Amen. God our Father, we thank you that you are full of compassion. You know our fears, even as you tell us not to be afraid. Thank you for your forbearance with us. Think of the psalmist's experience that he sought you and looked to you, and you were delivered from that experience of fear. We pray that for ourselves, pray that for our whole church family, that yes, we are weak, we are fallible and sinful, but we don't want to live in sinful fear. So please would you save us from that as we look to you. And we do ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look up there. Let's go on. So if you've joined us since the start, we're slightly deviating from what we were doing, though our theme this morning, it was due to be in Christian relationships, how do we talk, listen, think and pray about suffering? And we're thinking this morning, well, how does Scripture help us in the current crisis? What should we believe and indeed share and pray for each other? So we're mainly going to be praying this morning and listening to God's word. So pick up at number five, sort of foundational truth number five. Sin is far more deadly. Keep staying clean of that more than infection. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Foundational truth number six, just a reminder, I guess, about particular sins that the, you know, those circumstances around us now may awaken in our hearts. Beware of how fear can drive us to self-centeredness, e.g. your 900 loo rolls or whatever it is. It's greed. So keep serving and caring for others as they deal with the virus. We're encouraged to share and to be generous. Remember Acts 4. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. We're encouraged, truth number seven, to read the scriptures and think on God's word more than obsessing about the latest news. So Colossians 3:16, great verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let's go on. Truth number eight. Give thanks for God's gracious provision of the NHS, for wise medical advice and for government care. We are very privileged, aren't we? And we're reminded where all of those good things come from. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He's a good giver. We're encouraged, truth number nine, to pray for those who lead us. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. However, truth 10, let your ultimate sense of safety and comfort more from the Lord's care and control than the government's, NHS, etc. So Psalm 44, verse 6, for not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. Look, let's pause there. Perhaps in where we're sitting, twos and threes, little groups, those scriptures from number five down to number 10, turn that into thanksgiving and prayer as well. We'll spend a few minutes in groups. Let's go on and do some praying together. Pick up at number 11. In God's mysterious plan, the appearance of this virus will be one of God's means to make us dependent on him. So here's the Apostle Paul's experience, 2 Corinthians 12. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, his thorn in the flesh. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Go on, 12. The reality of coronavirus can wean us off worldliness as it reminds us of the falseness of this world, the reality of death, and the provisionality of everything here. So Romans 8:22-23, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Number 13, my ultimate hope is not to be free from infection, but to be found in Christ and glorifying him. Wonderful words from Philippians. Paul writes, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honoured in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Number 14, what my mind meditates on is worship. You know, that which, you know, our minds and our hearts are consumed by and full of, that actually indicates our gods, doesn't it? So beware a mind overrun and being obsessed by fears and anxieties. A couple of encouragements and warnings here. Philippians 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Mark 4, parable of the soils, Jesus warns us, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Lastly, our true hope isn't health in this world, but the face of God forever. Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. So, much to pray, much to rejoice in. Let's continue back in our little groups, numbers 11 to 15. Let's pray together. Anyone have any questions or encouragements to share? Questions of head or heart, encouragements to bless us? Do pipe up if you do.
I've got a question.
Go on, Kush, then Will.
Last week, one of the readings we had in church was, the angels behold the face of your Father who is in heaven.
Yeah.
And that is their strength, their service comes from that. And we can learn from that, that we need to fix our eyes on him,
yep.
Not on all around us. Hello.
Thank you. That's a good encouragement. So Matthew 18, your angels behold the face of your Father who is in heaven. And yeah, we're encouraged actually to be a bit like the angels, you know, those sinless beings who continually serve Christ and the church, beholding him. Yeah, that's a great encouragement, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Many places we can point our faces. Yeah. Will, go on.
The question was if our primary goal should be make sure we keep trusting Jesus, and any way that we can do that, maybe one of the core ways of that is making sure we go to church, how do we balance that with the risks of gathering? Mm-hmm. So should we keep going to church whatever happens, because it's so important, isn't it? We should love the Lord more than health. How would we balance that?
Okay. So that's a great question. We're told to keep gathering. We're told that God is sovereign. Does that mean you keep gathering regardless? I think the answer is no. I think, you know, wisdom and also love of neighbour means the time may come, and it's not up to us to decide that really, when you show a greater love for neighbour by ceasing to gather. I mean, there have been examples in church history where churches have had to think this through and cease from gathering, even in the 20th century, but people like Martin Luther, dealing with much more serious plagues, had to sort of think long and hard about this. He said, you know, don't run away in fear, because people were literally legging it from the bubonic plague, and that was faithless. Yeah, you stay and you care for your family, but churches sometimes have to cease to meet. And that actually is an expression of love. And then you just have to find other ways to try and encourage and strengthen one another. And we have technical blessings that Luther et al. Did not enjoy, or they didn't even enjoy in 1917 with the Spanish flu. So, but we wait to see what happens. Yeah. Yeah. Go on, Carl.
I was just going to say, it's just showing that we don't just thinking about my parents, my family. My parents are not well, they're both in their 70s, they're not Christian.
Yep.
So I think the big thing on my heart is just that real sense. It's just I'm grateful to God for the real sense of reminding of the urgency. Because you don't know when people's days are up, you don't know what's around the corner.
Yep. Thank you. We've got about 3 minutes. Let's sing a psalm. Turn to the back of this. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where am I to look for my aid? My help comes to me from the Lord, by whom earth and heaven were made. Your foot he will not leave to slide, his watch over you he will keep. The Lord over Israel keeps watch, and he will not slumber or sleep. Go verse 2. The Lord will keep watch over you, your shade from the heat and the light. The sun will not harm you by day, the moon will not harm you by night. The Lord will protect you from harm, your life he will ever defend. He'll guard every step that you take, both now and for days without end. It's good to sing scripture. It gets it into you in ways that speaking it just doesn't sometimes. So someone pray for us as we finish up. Will Chump, would you pray?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can give to you half our fears for you. Thank you that you're a loving Heavenly Father. Thank you that you are sovereign, ordained all things. As Carl just reminded us, in some ways nothing has changed. Death will face us all one day, and what we need is a Saviour. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus came to save us. Help us to take that message of hope out to this world. Mm-hmm. And help us, Lord, to also comfort and care for each other as a church family, now in this gathering now and during this week. Amen.